大杉正明のクロスカルチャーセミナー
Sponsored by Olympus
Welcome to the Cross Culture Seminar. My name is Masaaki Osugi.
And I'm Susan Iwamoto.
Well, this time I would like to interview you as a cross cultural trainer. I'm sure that a lot of our listeners are interested in knowing what the difference is between intercultural training or communication and cross cultural aspect. So let me start out with this question.
Sure.
When did you first take interest in cross-cultural studies?
Well, I'd have to say, you know, I was interested in cultures in general for a long time, but it was my experience working at a very large Japanese corporation in particular that sparked my interest in intercultural communication. I worked in the human resources division, and part of my job was to work with people who are coming to Tokyo, like from other countries, to work for a few years, and also with some of our local non-Japanese staff. Sometimes employee relations issues came up, and certainly with my own experience working there too, I would notice communication challenges or just communication differences. And I became more interested in that subject, so I started doing more reading about it, realized there was an entire field devoted to it, and then I started taking courses in the field.
Same. So when you say, when you worked at a human relations, human resources?
Human resources division.
Mm-hmm. Okay, human resources division. What would you say the Japanese translation is?
That would be, I worked in the Jinji Honbu.
I see.
Of a very big Japanese corporation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I worked in global human resources management and development. So in Japanese, it would be Kokusai Jinji and Kokusai Jinzai Kaihatsu.
Okay. Big word. All right. Okay, let me ask you this question that I mentioned earlier, the very basic question. What exactly is the difference between cross-cultural and intercultural?
Well, you know, actually sometimes people will use those terms interchangeably. But generally speaking, the difference is this. If you're talking about cross-cultural studies or cross-cultural communication, you're comparing communication within two different cultures, for example. So you look at the way, for example, that two Japanese people communicate, and you compare it to the way two Americans communicate. With intercultural communication, it's taking that one Japanese person and one American person and seeing how they interact, seeing how they communicate together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's kind of a simple way of explaining it. But as I mentioned, some people will use the terms interchangeably. And in fact, I work for two different training companies now. At one, my job title is intercultural trainer. At the other, it's cross-cultural trainer. But the work is essentially the same.
Oh, I see. Okay. I understand. All right. Now, so when you work as a cross-cultural or intercultural trainer, what exactly is it that you do in a workshop or something?
Well, for example, one of the companies that I work for is a Japanese training company mm-hmm. based right here in Tokyo. And our clients are mostly Japanese companies, but some foreign multinationals. So generally speaking, I'll have a group training program. So it'll be a colleague and me, conducting a program for generally Japanese business people, but sometimes non-Japanese as well. And the participants in the program are either, for example, about to start an international assignment. You know, maybe they're going to go and work in New York for 5 years or Paris or something. Or they may just be business people who happen to work in a global environment. You know, Japanese people working for a foreign multinational in Japan. Or people who happen to work on global teams, multicultural teams, you know, interacting with people from all over the world. So our participants, are actually from a variety of different, backgrounds, positions, and nationalities. And it's really fun and challenging work.
I see. So you give them some kind of situation where they have to interact with people from different cultures, is that?
Well, basically, the people that we're working with, some of them have, actual experience either having already lived and worked overseas or are about to go there, or some people expect to do that in the future. So what my colleagues and I do is we present different frameworks for them to be able to understand the way that different cultures communicate with each other. For example, we look at differences in educational systems and how that impacts communication styles as adults. We also look at the different ways people view things like job responsibility. So, for example, if we look at the U.S. and Japan, in the U.S., you know, for your typical American company employee, they'll have a really specific job description. You know, they have their own job, their own work. Now, of course, they work on teams and with their colleagues, but generally it's a very, you know, individualistic type of position. So therefore, if you finish your job, you know, if you finish your work at the end of the day at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, you can go home without feeling any kind of, you know, guilty feelings about your team members still working. Whereas in Japan, of course, people have, you know, general job responsibilities of their own, but it's not quite as, you know, specific. It's a little more fluid. Jobs kind of change shape, you know, depending on the situation. And in a way, you know, you can relate this to overtime. It's very hard to leave early from the office when you know that your colleagues are still working hard because your job connects so much to theirs. It's kind of your responsibility, too, to stay and help them. So that's one of the main differences. And for people who don't have objectivity about their own culture, it can be very hard to understand because you're starting from two different points.
I see. Well, that sounds very, very interesting. And I'm sure that your seminars and your workshops help those people, you know, the participants very much. Now, well, when you give training to those Japanese participants, what do you see as the most obvious problem?
Well, there is one challenge that pops up again and again, and that has to do with a particular type of communication style. Now, in the field, you know, there's a lot of terminology for this. It's called context, high context communication, and low context communication. But simply put, if we look again, let's take Japan and the U.S. as an example, because there's quite a different communication style in both cultures. For Americans, generally speaking, when an American says something, the most important meaning of what they're saying in their message is the words themselves.
Uh-huh.
So what they say is what they mean.
Right.
Whereas in Japanese, now, of course, the actual words are important, but sometimes the real message comes through other channels. So through, you know, body language, through use of silence, through, you know, facial expressions, things like that. So, you know, a really common example that we often give has to do with, you know, the expression, ちょっと
難しい.
You know, so if you're from the U.S., for example, a low-context culture, if you translate that to a little difficult, it really means a little difficult. Whereas in Japanese, ちょっと難しい could be a little difficult, but often it means impossible.
Right.
And there's a world of difference between those two terms in English. So often, you know, for a Japanese person to be able to kind of get the real meaning, they have to know, you know, they have to look at the, listen to the tone of voice. They have to look at the way the person's saying it. They have to know, or maybe the relationship they have with that person to know what they really mean. So for people, say, from the U.S. or from Germany is another very direct type of low-context culture, it can be very difficult to grab those other kind of invisible messages that are there.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest challenge.
さてですね。このテーマは本当に興味深い広いテーマですから今回だけではちょっと足りないかなという気もしてしまいますけれども日本の大企業で先ほどちょっと触れましたが Human Resources Division というんですかねで日本語ではどういうことなんでしょうと聞いたんですがこれもやはり人事課の種類で人材開発ということに、まあ、主な力点が置かれているということのようですがやはりそこでコミュニケーションのギャップというものにですね非常に関心を持ったということですよねその後で私は、まあ、根本的な質問としてクロスカルチュラルな研究あるいはコミュニケーションというのとインターカルチュラルなコミュニケーションこれも両方とも使うわけですけれどもどこが違うんでしょうかという質問をしましたがまずはですねこれは全く同じ意味で使っている人たちも少なくないということをまずは知っておく必要があるで、スーザンさん自身としてはですねクロスカルチュラルな研究あるいはクロスカルチュラルコミュニケーションというのはですね、まあ、例えば日米であればそれぞれの違いというものに焦点を当てて考える検討するということが最もはっきりした考え方それに対してインターカルチュラルなコミュニケーションということになれば 日米の例えば例を挙げるとそれぞれが一緒にインタラクションをするその中で付き合ったり働いたりということがあってその中でどういうことが起こるかどんな問題が生じるか、まあ、そういうことを考えるっていうのはインターカルチュラルな研究というかコミュニケーションなんだとこういうことですけれども2つのですね企業でクロスカルチュラルトレーナーという職についてるわけなんですが実は一つではクロスカルチュラルトレーナーと呼ばれていてもう一方ではインターカルチュラルトレーナーと呼ばれている点からもまあ往々にして同じ意味で使う人が多いということがお分かりでしょうということですよね。さて実際のところですねこういうトレーニングでどういうことをするのか、まあ、たくさんお話がありましたから全部話すわけにいきませんけれども私が大変興味を持ったのは例えばジョブレスポンシビリティある職場で仕事に対する責任感ということについて考えただけでもまあアメリカだったらですね仮に5時あるいは6時時間は何時でもいいんですがそれが就業時間だとすればその時間が来ればそこで自分のジョブレスポンシビリティは終わるから退社することに何の問題もないし罪悪感を感じることもないですね。自分の仕事としてはきちんと済ましたということであればただ日本の場合ただそれだけでは済まない同僚たちがまだ働いてるっていう状況があると何かですね自分だけ退社するということに罪悪感を感じるようなそういう場面がまあ起こってきますね。これはあの日本人的な職場における同僚意識、連帯感、まあいろんなことがあるんだろうと思いますが、それだけとってもジョブレスポンシビリティのですね、日米間の職場文化、企業風土の違いというようなものがある。まあ話を伺っていると本当に面白い分野でもっといろいろ聞きたいなという感じがします。Alright, let's go on to the phrases.
Okay, the first one is a world of difference.Now, a world of difference can have two meanings. One is two things or three things are very, very different, extremely different. Or the other meaning is that it's something that makes a very significant impact, often a positive impact or change on something. So, for example, you could say, lending money to small businesses in developing nations can make a world of difference to the people living there.
さて、a world of difference.これは2つ意味があって、まあ、1つはですね東と西のように極端に違う圧倒的に違うということを表すときに A world of difference があるというような言い方で使う、まあ、そういう意味ですね。もう1つは大概はまあいい意味で使うんですが良い影響を与えるとか良い変化を生み出すとかあるいは大いに助けとなるといったような意味で A world of difference をメイクする動詞としてメイクっていう動詞を一緒に使うことが多いんですが今の例文ですとですから、まあ、開発途上国の中小企業にですね融資するとそこの人たちにとってですね非常に良い影響を与えることになるつまり大いに助かることになるということを言ってるわけですね。もう一度聞いてみましょう。
Lending money to small businesses in developing nations can make a world of difference to the people living there.
ということですね。Okay, what's the second one?
The second one is best of both worlds. Best of both worlds. So this one is fairly simple. It means to take the best or take the good things from two different things or situations, events, cultures perhaps.And when I hear this expression, I often think of my younger sister. She loves nature, but she also loves big cities. So I can describe her job as, she has the best of both worlds. For example, I could say, my sister has the best of both worlds. An apartment in bustling Manhattan and a job in the middle of big, beautiful Central Park.
さてですね、この best of both worlds。両方の世界の一番いいとこ、そういうのがこの表現のもともとの意味ですけれどもここで言っている both worlds 両方の世界というのは実際に日本とアメリカであったり西洋と東洋そういう場所あるいは国ではなくもう少し小さな単位でもいいですね。今のスーザンさんのですねお姉さんの例という場合にはですね大都会とそれからまあ自然というですね異なった2つの世界その両方のいいとここういう意味ですね。ですからマンハッタンの アパート、大都会の中心っていう感じですよね。の都会生活、それからセントラルパーク、これはまあですね、小さなしかし大きな自然、絶対的な単位で言うとそんな広い場所ではありませんが、ニューヨークっていうですね、街の中で言うと相当広い大きな自然がありますよね。その両方のいいとこ、いいとこ取りということですよね。もう一度聞いてみましょう。
My sister has the best of both worlds. An apartment in bustling Manhattan and a job in the middle of big, beautiful Central Park.
Is that true?
It's true.
Oh, wow.
She does have the best of both worlds there.
これ本当の話だということですからね。羨ましいですね。All right. See you next time.
Thanks for listening.
大杉正明のクロスカルチャーセミナ
ー Sponsored by Olympus.
クロスカルチャルセミナーをお聞きの皆さん、いつもありがとうございます。皆さんはどうやって語学学習をしていますか？ラジオ講座などで勉強している方もたくさんいらっしゃると思いますが、いつも聞いているラジオ番組が聞けないこともあるでしょう。そんな時の強い味方がオリンパスのラジオサーバー VJ10 です。ハードディスク付きラジオレコーダーで最大約2500時間も録音できるんです。1日24時間それでいくと何日録音しっぱなしでいいのみたいなね。AM、FM チューナーにステレオスピーカー付きですよ。20件の番組予約も OK。 録音した番組の早聞き遅聞きやリピート再生も可能で、語学学習にドンピシャリ。すごいなこれは。しかも早聞き遅聞き再生は2倍速から 0.5 倍速までの9段階に対応。パソコンとの接続も OK なので、ポッドキャスト番組はもちろん音楽もダウンロードして聞くことができますよ。ラジオサーバー VJ10 はオリンパスのオンラインショップか三省堂書店でお買い求めいただけます。詳しくはvoicetrek.jp にアクセス。さあ、これであなたの語学学習もきっと変わりますよ。Olympus.